City Talk 105.9. Official podcasts. Online at citytalk.fm.
This is Brian Reid.
Brian Reid.
On City Talk 105.9.
We've got a Liverpool music legend, Ian McNabb. We've got a Liverpool fanzine legend editor, Phil Thornton. We've got the legendary jury where the fans tell you exactly what's going on at Liverpool and Everton. We've got the legendary quiz. What's it called? The insult quiz. The legendary insult quiz. And before all that, I've got a legend in his own mind, Paddy Hoey. All right, Patrick Declan Hoey. How are you this morning?
I'm not bad. I wish it's yourself.
We've got to start with your nationality, your race.
Well, what have we done now?
An embarrassment to every Irishman on earth was that chap, Bono. Well, I mean, what was. Has a head ever gone so far up a musician's behind in praise? What was he going on about?
At first, I don't think Bono's actually taken his head out of his own since 1987, since the last vestiges of Rattlin' Hum. Wasn't it appalling?
Did he or did he not say that? If it hadn't been for the potato famine, there would have been no Beatles and therefore no music.
It's a strange historical correlation to make, isn't it?
So the next time we need a new wave of Liverpool groups, just have another potato famine.
And you know, maybe all those deaths weren't in vain.
How far were you squirming behind your couch when that speech was being given?
Well, I don't generally watch MTV, but with no.
You said you love the music.
Yeah, brilliant.
Especially the Rick Astley Award.
Katy Perry. I'd rather have Rick Astley than Katy Perry. I always want to say to Katy Perry, yes, I've kissed a girl too, and yes, it was good. You know, yes, I liked it. But not only that, not only was Bono making me feel, you know, glad to be from the north of Ireland, so I can't associate
with that
Mexican. He's from Mexico, he's from down El Paso way. But then McCartney came on, and he was like your embarrassing uncle at a wedding. You expect him to unbutton a shirt and slide across the floor on his knees doing air guitar.
Is I'm not Ringo act. I love Liverpool.
I love Liverpool.
But
a
great quote there from Bono that no one picked up on. He said, "When McCartney took me around Liverpool, it was as though I was sitting in the Pope Mobile with the Pope." So he thinks he's actually been in the Pope Mobile. He thinks he's actually been in the Pope Mobile. But
where did he go to that he felt he'd drive around Liverpool in the Pope Mobile?
I don't know.
If he'd been around Heighton and Mizzy night, he'd have needed to be in the Pope Mobile.
And we had a little bit of a dispute as to how many eyes were actually on Liverpool this week, didn't we?
Well, surely 1 million.
No, because the Echo had the Eyes of the World in about four occasions, the Eyes of the World on Liverpool. But strangely, the Daily Post went for the Eyes of Europe on Liverpool.
Wasn't Julius Caesar killed on the Eyes of Europe? Beware the Eyes of Europe.
He was killed in the Eyes of... Yeah, I mean, we need to know this. How many eyes exactly? And what happens now? We're on a slippery slope here. I mean, the next time, is the tall ships in it? Is it just the Eyes of England on us? Or what?
Yeah, but at Mersey River Festival, but the eyes of the sea shanty community on us.
And what about this?
Eyes? Are the eyes of Europe? Are they like that big eyeball there is in the Pogues video for a pair of brown eyes? It looms large over the world.
We don't know, but every time there's an event here that with significance beyond the boundaries of Merseyside, the eyes of the world are upon us.
I think you find the Daily Post. It is the day that the eyes of the world are on the
Liverpool. But what was this quote from? I think it was Jason Harbour who said, "This is going to give us £50 million worth of positive publicity." Just how do you work that one out, Paddy?
Well, I know how he worked that one out. He went to the Foundation for Made Up Statistics, who regularly do studies into this kind of work, and they found that all statistics made up by PR people are complete rubbish.
50 million quid? I mean, how do you quantify that? A show, which was
how you quantify it? You do what you do, which was go to the Kaz on a Friday night, wait till you get halfway down your fourth pint, and then make it up.
Yeah, okay, well, but didn't somebody say 30 million as well? There was this little dispute as to, somebody else plucked, I think Warren Bradley might have given 30 million.
He was only halfway down a second pint.
But the thing about Mr. Harborough is, the only figure that anyone in the city is concerned with is how much compo you took. And it wasn't far short of 50 million from what I can remember.
I got listening to The Breakfast Show.
But this is where you've got to swallow a sincerity pill and say, actually, you know, all the Bono stuff, all that kind of Eyes the World. It was a very good event. Forget the music. It did. It was quite cool to have it in Liverpool. And I'll tell you why. You don't look that funny look.
You're a 51-year-old man saying it was quite cool.
It was quite with a mean machine.
Chill out, granddad.
Look, I'm not sitting there with a shake of a T-shirt on, mate. No, I'll tell you why. Because a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, if that had been held, it would have been in a tent, wouldn't it? It would have been in a tent in a car park.
Did you ever go to the Summer Pops and you're sitting there and you're in Summer Pops and you're looking backstage through like a fence? Yeah. And you can see, like, the Who or Diana Ross waiting to go on stage. You're thinking, what do they think? And it was bad enough when it was down to King's Dock, but then when they moved it up to the Waterloo Dock, it was just like, she actually thinks she's in a post-apocalyptic wasteland and she's about to sing Chain Reaction. It was awful.
But no, but when you think about it, that label that Bono, etc. was throwing on Liverpool as the birthplace of it all, you know, we could be cynical, but actually Liverpool and Nashville would be perceived as the kind of the birthplace of rock and roll, of music. Oh, well, Chicago's got a claim, I suppose. But what I'm saying is, and then if they come here...
I think the Mississippi Delta's more of a claim than all of them, hasn't it?
But if they had come here 2 years ago, it would have been, right, you've got the Carlton Academy, you've got a tent, or you've got...
the Mountford Hall?
Flanagan's. We put it on in Flanagan's.
Flanagan's, yeah.
So in that sense, I don't know about £50 million worth of publicity, but it was good to see. You know, it just thrown in casually, MTV from Liverpool, because it could not have happened, could it? So, and it's little things like that that sneak up on you when you say, oh, yeah, we have got a big festival hall down there.
Apparently the lads from the... my wife, Pamela, still works on the Echo, and she was saying that one of the lads who was working overnight had gone downstairs trying to see some stars, and he met up with the lads from the press office, and the press hall. God love them, not going to be there very much longer, but... they went up to the front of the panoramic, and he's going, and some wee bald bloke came out, and they thought it was Moby. They're going, hey, Moby! Moby, lads! Hey, Moby! And this, like, bald lad was walking past, and he's like, hey, Moby, lads! This fella's just ignoring them.
Yeah.
So, hey, Moby, lads! And this lad turns round, and they say something that you can't say on Saturday morning. Moby, yeah. But the thing was,
it wasn't Jan Mulvey at all.
It wasn't Jan Mulvey, and it wasn't Moby, because he was in New York talking about the election. So some poor baldy New York fella's got abused by a press worker covered in ink. He doesn't know what's going on.
But that didn't make the wicked whisper.
Yeah.
Shh. Who abused Moby? And there's something else happened this week where, okay, the eyes of the world were on Liverpool mainly.
Yeah.
Mainly on Liverpool.
Well, we could definitely say it was the eyes of Europe, definitely.
Yeah, because I think there was a couple of eyes looking over at America this week, wasn't there, with this kind of election thing. What was that about?
I don't know. What was
there? Moby there.
Something happened in America.
But you stayed up late to watch it. Did it touch you, Paddy? Did it touch you? Well, first black president of America.
Obviously, yes. Maybe being Northern Irish and Catholic and having had the civil rights drummed into us, yes, it means something even to us as well, but... No, I love elections anyway. But the thing that was the best thing about it was the ridiculousness of the sophistication of the graphics on the American networks compared to Britain. First of all, what is it about ITV and BBC that they have to have a comedian on all the time?
Yeah. Who aren't funny.
So you get John Coleshaw on.
Yeah.
And so yes, he does George Bush. That's enough.
Nothing like him. He looks more like Stan Ogden.
But then I went into media overload. I had Skype, so I was talking to my mates in the States on Skype, you know, North Carolina, New York. So I had New York Times website on, and I was watching MSNBC and CNN. At one point, and John Stewart talked about this last night, the Daily Show, CNN actually were getting their guests in the studio as holograms, like they were Princess Leia in Star Wars. It was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen this is Will I Am from the Black Eyed Peas, and he emerged like a hologram from Grant Park.
I might start doing that next time. You don't have to come in for Crosby, will you? I can just hologram you.
I can do it from Hightown, from the football league.
But, I mean, I thought it was, more than anything else, I mean, obviously, first black president, just a massive, massively kind of touching, wasn't it? You know, just see it happen, and very, very moving and historic. But also the getting rid of George W. Bush, that buffoon sneaking out the back door, you know. And I'm sure that's why America voted so overwhelmingly, for one of the reasons, you know, for Obama, is they felt so guilty at re-electing that buffoon who, and this takes some doing this, on the day that he was, you know, was effectively forced out of the White House, his popularity was 8 points less than on the day Nixon was impeached. How do you get that? How do you get to that point? That's below loathing, isn't it?
It would be fair to say Nixon is the most reviled politician.
And Bush is 8 points lower.
And Bush is 8 points lower. Yeah. That's lower than a snake's cojones.
But
I also thought, like, first of all, I mean, the thing about Obama, even if Obama is just a good story, a good-looking mixed-race fella with a good-looking...
Oh, as Berlusconi said, and a good tan.
Slightly suntan, I think Berlusconi said. What is it about the Spanish and the Italian race? Yeah. But anyway...
Well, they're probably
even
racist.
They are probably racist. I'm all part of the... What's part of Franco and Mussolini did I not get there? But even if it is just a story, at least it's a story for hope. At least it's not... The whole Palin thing, I mean, that was... If we're going to try and win this election, we're going to do it with... And you used the joke twice, Moose Women last Saturday, used it in your column this week as well.
Well, I don't see anything wrong with that, mate.
But you are the greenest columnist there. You will reuse everything.
It's different media.
Yeah.
Different media.
It's like taking it to the tip of a Sunday afternoon, Brannon. Well, you know it.
Apparently, that's a good line. She will be on Moose Women. But I tell you what got on me wick slightly. All the sports writers are over there, the James Lawton, the Ollie Holter. They're all covering the Joe Calzaghe fight. So, of course, it was, we'll go down to Harlem and do a piece on the night, what it meant for the world. Yes. We'll write everyone else out the paper. And anyway, James Lawton in Harlem. It didn't matter that Cab Calloway was no longer around to make the music, nor Billie Holiday in Ella Fitzgerald, or that Sugar Ray Robinson was not to be seen waving from his pink Cadillac after the beautiful... Just get back to football writing, man.
Just
go and write about boxing.
Yeah, okay, so that's all the black people you know. Let's talk about how white their teeth are. Get all the stereotypes out. And
Charlie
then
Williams from Yorkshire would have been looking on...
Cab Calloway. Imagine that, the election night, and they start playing Minnie the Moocher.
Yeah. But change. It's going to change now, because everything's changed, and that did slightly get me nerves, you know.
Oh, who was it? Somebody said...
It sounds like a Maisie Travel bus driver. Change!
Change we need, as they said last night on Have I Got News For You. Isn't Sarah Palin just brilliant? We've got to keep her in the public eye. She's brilliant. Have you seen that now had... First of all...
She's sexy, for starters.
Yeah, you do fancy her, don't you?
Don't you?
No, of course I don't.
There's something there. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, I find fascism a distinct turn-off, but, you know, do what you want, mate. First of all, have you seen yesterday's Daily Star, which was brilliant. Everybody else went on Wednesday. They went, President Obama, blah blah blah. Daily Star, Obama to save British jobs. I hadn't heard that in this speech, but anyway, they said Palin's potty Africa gaffe. Sarah Palin was the butt of more jokes yesterday because she did not know that Africa was a continent. That's not a gaffe.
She was a country, didn't she?
Yeah,
it's like Jade Goody, isn't it?
That's not a gaffe. That's a serious gap in knowledge for a vice president.
But imagine if Bush had to sit one of those weakest links before, some of the things he came out with. Remember, they asked him initially, who's the president of Pakistan? Goes, yeah, some guy. Some president guy.
But she didn't even have enough knowledge to make it up on the spot. Whenever Katie Couric said to her, what newspapers do you read? She went, oh, you know, I read newspapers. And she went, well, which ones? Oh, you know, them all. And it's just name one. I mean, there must be billions out there.
The Echo.
Yeah. I love the Daily Post.
You listen to Paddy Hoey here, who's ranting away there on the Brian Reid show. No, you're not ranting away. Don't give me a funny look. You're not ranting away. Okay, give me a rant. I want a rant.
I'm not going to give you a rant.
I wouldn't mind a rant.
I'm not some sort of comedy monkey boy.
You must have been slightly peeved watching Celtic Man United the other night, the comeback from Giggsy.
In fairness, they did batter us all over the pitch, didn't they?
Yeah. But
they got rid of five players to do it. I mean, it's just the gap between Celtic now and Man United, it's a chasm, isn't it?
But then, I mean, not the Daily Record didn't think so.
No, the Daily Record, in fairness, didn't think so.
Daily Record, which is a Glasgow-based paper, and probably the chap who was giving out the player ratings may have been of a green persuasion.
I think it was Mark Guidi, wasn't it?
Because he gave the player ratings, and he went, Nanny, 3. Think of a word that rhymes with his name and add merchant. Imagine it wasn't as bad as Johnny Giles and RTE, who said that Bobby Charlton isn't one for blowing his own horn. I mean, I think we knew that one, didn't we?
What does that say about Jack? Does that mean
exactly.
That Jack is?
Yeah. Actually, I got a phone call yesterday from TalkSport, which nobody should ever listen to when you listen to City Talk 105.9, The Voice of Liverpool. But they said, "Would you come on? Do you want to come on and talk about this? The fact that Lucas Leiva is now the ninth Liverpool player to be burgled while Liverpool play." I thought, yeah, I'm really going to come on and let you crack jokes about how all the scouts are surrounded. It's going to go down really well, isn't it? So I made up some excuse. But what did pop into my head when they asked it was, well, the entire Atletico team were robbed the same night, weren't they, at Anfield? So I suppose it's just a bit of evening up, isn't it? Yeah, glad I didn't say that one live on national radio. There you go.
What about back to the election. The thing that really annoyed me about the election was that, at Sarah Palin, every time she turned around, she invoked some sort of fictional character. So it was Joe the Plumber was the famous one, wasn't it?
Oh, Joe the Plumber.
And even Obama got dragged into it in one of the debates, televised debates, where John McCain was just wandering about like an owl fella.
With his little arms.
Yeah, with his
little
arms.
No one would ever vote for.
No.
A man with little arms.
Remember years ago, like the 60s and 70s, you'd be able to get those wind-up Snoopies where the arms just went like that? That's what he looks like.
Yeah, Barney Rubble arms.
Yeah.
Vote Rubble and Palin.
But they were talking about Joe the Plumber, and they're saying that,
Joe the Baxi.
So it was Joe the Plumber and Irene the school teacher,
Did Joe not turn up for a couple of events? Because I remember McCain was standing there at some place, some backdrop. Yeah. And he went to him, Joe, is Joe? Is Joe here? Is Joe in the house?
No, Joe was too busy running away from the taxes he hadn't paid. But Joe's come out this week and saying that Obama says there's lots of Joe the plumbers opposed to redistribution. There are also lots of Joe the hedge fund managers. But one was, you never get like a, you never get a real life American, you know, American. Yeah. You never get like, and this goes out to Bubbles the drug, the crackhead, or Avon and Stringer the drug barons. You never get
Sandy
that.
The pole dancer.
Yeah. Orlando, the lap dancing bar owner.
There was something that kind of made me laugh in a tangential way. I went off on a, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
How much ale I had last night. The Independent, it's all about America, Obi. So the Independent did a quiz on, you know, every state in America has to have this slogan, like, you know, smiling faces, beautiful places. That's South Carolina. Smiling faces, or great faces, great places, South Dakota. I think we'll be the judge of that, South
great
Dakota.
Great faces, yeah. Great places.
But at a time when Liverpool is looking for its own little slogan, which obviously should be, you know, the city that's not worrying about its hangover, something like that. I just wondered how many of these American state slogans we could apply here. So, what about a million miles from Monday? Eh? That is Illinois. Wild and wonderful. Liverpool, it's wild and wonderful. Come as you are, leave different. Now, I think the stereotypical commentators may have a little go on that, on the
That's
lines.
That's what happened at Atletico Madrid, didn't it?
When it also, yeah, the Liverpool footballers, yeah. come as you. No, and also when the airport was renamed John Lennon Airport, and there was about 50 gags about Imagine No Possessions. Remember that? You know,
yeah.
Might be somewhere down there. We'd love to show you around. Okay. I like this one. This is Oregon. Things look different here. Imagine that one, Liverpool. Things look different here. Especially after 15 pints of a brandy.
I'm saying, Liverpool's, that could go with my slogan for parts of Liverpool. Things look different here because Liverpool's proper stoned.
Heart of it all. Maybe Wiley could come and sing that. Heart of it all, that's Ohio.
He was up late watching the election. He was Facebooking me at 2:26 in the morning. And of course, with Pete, he was saying, there might be a new market for a Story of the Blues.
Let me just go back on that. Did you say he was Facebooking you?
Yeah, that's
another
verb.
Are you on Facebook?
That's another
verb. Are you on Facebook?
Yes, I am on Facebook.
You trying to get down with the kids?
Well, it's the only way I can reach many of my students. It's social networking. See, I post the video the odd time, try and look hip, kid.
So Wiley Facebooked you. I've been trying to get Wiley on the show for 9 months, and he keeps telling me he's not going to let his brain... He's not going to let his brain cross a cultural... he set up a cultural picket line, which you only, but he's sitting there Facebooking you at 3
in the morning. All you have to do is leave a message on Facebook about Hank Williams Jr., and Wiley will get back to you within seconds.
Is that what you did?
That's what I did, yeah.
And what did he say?
He said he wasn't the real Hank Williams, which I knew anyway, so he was patronising my aunt. No, he wasn't.
You will appreciate this story. As much as I did.
Is it about potato famines again?
The headline is Nuns. It's the same line. It's Irish Catholicism, sort of. Nuns beat me, says restaurateur. An Italian man has claimed he was beaten up by two 83-year-old nuns and a priest in a row over the ownership of a restaurant in a small southern town. Aniello Esposito, 49, so he's not even 50, okay, told police he arrived at the restaurant he runs in Rotino in Campania to find the three throwing furniture into the street and smashing plates. These are 83-year-old nuns and a priest.
Revolution theology.
When he tried to intervene, the priest knocked him to the ground with a chair and the two nuns began to kick him. And he was taken to hospital in an ambulance a month ago where they found neck and abdominal contusions.
Isn't that a Monty Python sketch, getting beaten up by two nuns and a priest?
It's just brilliant, isn't it? But I'm glad that's coming out because I was quite roundly battered by nuns and brothers.
I was going to say, some people don't have to wait until they're 49.
Sister Immaculata, I was 6, and Sister, the most aptly named nun ever, Immaculata. You know, she's battier.
Violencia.
And De La Salle brothers all carried straps. Brother Ignatius, who eventually ended up having a breakdown. He's like, just give you 6, but he liked to give it on the behind. I wonder why.
And did he come from a large family and community in the West of
so
Ireland?
So much violence against you by the Catholic priesthood
afraid,
and the nunhood.
I'm afraid I'm kind of a very secular kind of... I went to Catholic school, but we didn't have any brothers. It was a new comprehensive, so we didn't have any of that nonsense. It was great. A great school. In fact, my old headmaster phoned me up this week to go back and talk to him about getting a career in the media. I had to tell him that I don't make any money out of the media anymore, so that'd be pointless.
Well, I'm disappointed because I thought you were going to tell me about a few Irish, 83-year-old Irish nuns who chased you down
Gribble's,
the road.
Gribble's back up to the Adolf to the Zootons again next month, yeah. And he'll tell you about, he's got some great stories about the Christian Brothers and St. Mary's College Crosby, which seems to have blighted everyone from Roger McGough to John Burt to Kenny Everett. It's brilliant.
Paddy Howie, what else have you, what else would you like to talk about?
We're talking about the president of, the prime minister of Berlusconi of Italy saying that Obama wasn't black, he was just slightly suntanned.
Yeah.
Well, what is it about Spain and Italy, as we said before? Have you seen what, Bernie Eccleston said this week about Lewis Hamilton? Remember Lewis Hamilton? I don't like motor racing. It passed me by completely.
like that.
Only it took 2 hours to pass me by repeatedly. He turned up to do some testing, I think, in Catalonia, and some people turned up and blacked their face up.
Oh, there's four of them, basically dressed as black and white minstrels with Hamilton's family written on the chest. So, in other words, we're not only dressing up as a kind of black stereotype from the black and white minstrels, though, it was gollywogs. We're writing Hamilton's family on our T-shirts. So that was it.
Oh, man alive. Well, it's a really good piece by Jim White, who I think is a great writer in The Telegraph. Bernie Eccleston said... That was meant in the beginning probably as a joke rather than anything abusive, he said of the Spanish innocent. I think people look and read into things that are not there. It was just a bit of a joke.
Yeah.
I don't see why people should be insulted by it.
How would you like to insult Bernie Eccleston?
Well, I think Bernie Eccleston would start to take up on notice if you dressed as one of the seven dwarfs with an Andy Warhol getup and turned up with a massive woman. I think he'd start taking notice about those kind of gags then, wouldn't he?
But it's got a lot of credibility, hasn't it, Formula One? If you look at the two men who are running it, Max Mosley, he likes to get beaten up. So we can't mention the Germans, but admits that he likes to get beaten senseless by women in cellars. And Bernie Eccleston, who thinks it's a bit of a joke to dress up as black and white minstrels, that's good, isn't it?
You should get Max Mosley and send him to Italy and tell him to open up a restaurant. He'll get beaten all he wants by nuns. That'll be an extra frisson.
I can't stand motor races. It's full of, you know, petrol heads. But... I did watch the last 2 minutes of the Lewis Hamilton race just to see, you know, if he was going to win it or lose. And it looked like he was going to lose it one way. Then he came back, and one of the commentators came up with this quote. What was it? After the final bend, you knew it was over, and the Brazilian was beaten. Now, if you pick three words out of that sentence, bend, over, and beaten, that's exactly the technical terms. By the way, RBS, Royal Bank of Scotland,
yes,
they sponsor Williams.
Yeah.
So all over these Williams cars, RBS, that cost them millions, right?
I would have thought so, yeah.
Well, we own that bank now. Who asked us if they could make these multi-millionaire tags exiled petrolheads even richer? Have we got saying these kind of things now?
Oh, we have to. And I see Lewis Hamilton's going to have a victory parade through his hometown. So that's Geneva shut for a week, isn't it?
That's Liechtenstein. Paddy Howie, have you got anything
petrol
else there,
heads.
Mate?
Petrol heads.
What is the Jonathan bank? Ross.
No, Jeremy Clarkson. Jonathan, well, he is a petrolhead anyway, isn't he? Well, he probably is, because they all spend time in a... You know, what is it about that? There's a group, a coterie, if you will.
Coterie? Tangential?
Tangential.
A tangential
coterie. Hey, we've come a long way from Craigavon and Highton, haven't we? But what is it about these people? Jonathan Ross, Jeremy Clarkson. They all line up to be Jimmy Carr. They all like Patrick Keelty. Do I have to go on?
Yeah.
And they all line up to be patted in the back by one another and say, look how much money we have. Aren't we fabulous and funny? I'm not one of them is, but some
Ricky
way...
Ricky
Gervais is funny.
Yeah.
But there seems to be a bit of self-awareness about him. Ant and Deck are all right on. They're harmless. They're like the common cold.
No, it's kind of an AA Gil thing as well, isn't it? AA Gil, Clarkson, you know, we're all... Little John. Kind of, you know...
Jeremy Clarkson said this week, not only once, but three times, this is what a lorry driver does, change gear, check mirror, kill prostitute, change gear.
Mm.
Now, it's lumping satire,
yeah.
Not very sophisticated at best, but is there anything worse than somebody who cracks a joke, nobody laughs, and that, when that happens normally, those of us who try it, you go, I'll just leave it.
Yeah.
He did it three times.
What do you mean, in the same sketch? Because it was on Top Gear, wasn't it?
On Top Gear, yeah, he did it three times.
It wasn't like, I thought it was pre-recorded.
It was pre-recorded, yeah.
Yeah.
But he did it three times in the same film.
Actually. Yeah.
Don't do it. But it's just, I don't think Top Gear...
I can't stand Clarkson, and I hate Top Gear. But that, I thought, again, we're getting to that point now where we're all turned to Mary Whitehouse, aren't we? I mean, I know anything that's remotely... You know, that any humour that somebody thinks goes over a line, that's from the BBC, you know, and the Daily Mail will splash it and say, get this man off. As this row was going on about Leonard Sachs, poor old Leonard Sachs, you know. Clarkson came out with a gag about killing prostitutes. Well, I mean, you know, if we're going to get that level of censorship...
I think it should be censored for not being funny, not because of what he said.
Well, that's a different argument, isn't it?
Yeah. Who's Leonard Sachs, by the way?
I've never heard of him. Some frail old man. I think it's a frail old man. By the way, what did make me laugh this week was Voluptua. Georgina
Bailey.
That's
the story that just keeps giving, both literally and metaphorically.
So, okay, so what's happened is, you know, the messages have been left about her on her granddad's answer phone. She's so distraught, she gets Max Clifford. Max Clifford lines up a three-day deal with the Sun where there's splashes and spreads on what she got up to, what the satanic sluts do on tour, how horrified she is, blah, blah. And then she's had her interview to OK. And on the back of her interview with OK, they do a piece in the Daily Star because they own OK. And in it she says that what really, really hurt her most is that all these details were coming out that her granddad would read about. You've just been writing about them for 3 days. The most upsetting thing is that all of my secrets are now known by my grandparents. How much did you get for that, for selling them?
Let's hope her granddad doesn't have a weekly subscription to Pop Bitch magazine, because he'll see something else.
What would he see?
I can't say it on the radio, and Chris, the producer, is just looking into the mirror that is his career and so shaking his head.
He clearly he's seen it. Pop Bitch, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's seen it as well.
I think we can have a quick one there, Benny.
Web 2.0. Don't you know this thing that, you know, if somebody writes something in the paper and you can immediately leave a comment, and what happens is normally people leave comments in capital letters, which is the internet equivalent of writing to a newspaper in green ink in capital letters.
Oh, yeah.
This is brilliant. Linfield played Cliftonville, a legendary, the local rivalry in Northern Ireland. It's a very sectarian-based rivalry. They played one not in the County Antrim Shield, 2-1, Cliftonville 1. Geikle Conor Hagen, or Hagen, was playing for Linfield. He played for Cliftonville before. He got hit by a firecracker.
Oh, yeah.
By a firework. I mean, why are they selling fireworks in Northern Ireland? It's only 10 years since the GFA. But the best thing was, it's the people who replied to these things on the Daily Mail. It was like, a footballer's hit by a firework, blah, blah, blah. Comments. You can't knock conkers out of a tree, but you can buy powerful fireworks. That's Jules from Chandler's Ford. There is, close down the Football Association, close down all football fields, ban the game completely in the country, conscript all the fans into the infantry and send them to Afghanistan and Iraq for a 2-year tour. Keith Jones, in brackets, tax-paying pensioner, Hartlepool, Cleveland, near Redcar.
Near Redcar,
but I think that's a good point, because if you can throw a firecracker from the main stand at Windsor Park and hit somebody in the field 40 yards away, you'll save money on rocket launchers. But then the last thing is, then Les from Aberdeen.
Very stereotypical. We've all moved on from there, mate.
The peace process really worked, didn't it? Another smirking Tony Blair stitch-up. What's Tony Blair got to do with Linfield playing Cliftonville?
But imagine if someone had sent in, if it wasn't for the potato famine, there never would have been this rivalry.
But the best one was, just before you go over the break, I said, I had a football once, don't anymore. I lost it over a fence. The old guy would not give it back. Cost me £2.99 from the local shop. Hugh from Leeds. And he left another one saying, I am disturbed. Not by this case. I'm just disturbed. Hugh again, Leeds. That's how you should treat those
forums. We've all been there, Hugh. We've all been there, mate. You listen to Brian Reid here on City Talk 105.9, the voice of Liverpool.
Listen, and log on to the voice of Liverpool. City Talk 105.9.